Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be watching right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, and also available in audio format wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, iHeartRadio. And if you hit that subscribe download button, even if you're watching here at YouTube, it really helps us out. It jacks us up in the rankings and the ratings and all that kind of stuff. And it gets our show more exposure. And we really appreciate it if you did
that.
We're also available at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can contribute to the show. And in return, we offer various rewards and stuff that we'll send you, like these postcards. And you get to vote on Kayfabe Corner for our Raw recaps. And you get to watch our Raw recaps live as they happen.
Yeah, we're also
Warts
at
and all.
ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. We have 5 t-shirt designs currently. More
this is
come.
Not one of them.
Not one.
This is at a secret store that I'm not publicizing, but a couple of you have found the secret store. Not that difficult to find. Google is your friend.
Yes.
So anyways, yeah, I want to say thanks to all the patrons out there and everybody who's getting our merchandise. It's really awesome to see.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now, we should talk about SmackDown, Larson.
We
We're on
should.
The road to WrestleMania.
Overall thoughts.
Another good SmackDown episode.
Yeah, it was fine.
Let me ask you something. You have eye problems lately. Is that clouding your...
Well, I don't have... what is it? Glaucoma.
Right. Yeah, I was saying that.
Cataracts.
I was saying that metaphorically, not literally.
Oh, okay.
Is that clouding your judgment? Is your mood interfering with SmackDown? I couldn't really tell because I was kind of tired today too. But I felt like all in all, like when I look at the notes here, it was a fun show.
Yeah, there's some good matches. In terms of storyline stuff. It was fine, I guess, for the most part.
Yeah, here's my thing about storyline stuff. We're about, I mean, we know what we're going to get now. It's just a matter of getting there. I thought the Bray-Randy stuff was cool.
Yeah.
Well, that was okay.
Yeah, that was fine.
We'll talk about that when we get there. But, you know, there's one huge problem with that, with building up Bray to be this all-powerful guy who will probably be felled by a single RKO.
I know.
That's going to be the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the big problem. Anyways, let's start from the beginning like we usually do.
Okay.
We'll start off with Daniel Bryan talking to a stagehand beforehand.
Yeah, part of the production team, I think, was going over some production notes with him. And then AJ Styles comes in looking for Shane.
Yeah. And he's got all sorts of WrestleMania gear on.
Well, he's going to WrestleMania now. The match confirmed.
Exactly. And Bryan's not happy. With Shane being brought back,
No, he's not happy with Shane bringing AJ back.
Sorry, with Shane,
because if you remember last
bringing
week,
AJ back in for the match, he
Daniel
says
Daniel Bryan fired AJ Styles.
He says
after
this isn't how.
Shane.
He says you're lucky. Most McMahons would find a way to ruin your life, you know, to the most of their ability. And this McMahon, he'd rather duke it out.
Yes,
mano e mano.
Correct.
Mano a mano.
Correct.
Yeah. So, anyways, that we started the show with the commentating desk. No more Ornello again.
Yes. No more Ornello. They said that he was out sick.
You noted that he hasn't tweeted because he's a big Twitterer.
Yeah.
He hasn't tweeted in a week.
Yeah, since March 13th.
Oh, I'm stuck in snow again. Oh, I'm sick of all this snow. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Are we going to get Tom Phillips at the broadcast table?
I'd be fine with that.
At WrestleMania?
That'd be cool.
That'd be fantastic. Look, I know a lot of you people out there love Mauro Ranallo. I think that he can be good. I think that for whatever reason, when he's on SmackDown, he doesn't personally... It's too much, man.
Yeah.
It's too much. And so I'm a huge Tom Phillips fan. I like his more reserved way of calling things.
Agreed.
I think that especially with how much of a character JBL is, I think they work really well together.
Yes.
David Otunga is back.
Yeah.
So he's not fired.
No, he was working on a movie that was.
Here's the thing about Otunga. I actually don't mind Otunga because he doesn't bring anything to the table. That's kind of the knock on him. He doesn't bring anything to the table. And so it's as if he's not there most of the time. I don't notice David Otunga. Every once in a while.
He made a couple of references tonight, like the Donnie Brasco one. I was like, oh, okay.
I kind of chuckled at that.
That was good.
That was good. I wonder if Morrow was sending him pop culture references. Oddly enough, with David Otunga's, with his mild-mannered way of saying them, they work for me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
He got in there like Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.
It's all right. But it's like, oh, he's like Donnie Brasco. Ooh, wink, wink, nod. I can't do that. I am not doing that.
I know. No subtlety.
No subtlety with Morrow. I hope if he is actually sick, I hope he feels better.
Yes.
I don't want bad things for him as a human being. And from what I understand, he's got a popular podcast as well, you know, same as us, same as he's.
Yeah.
And he's a really, really good boxing / MMA, I think MMA guy.
Yeah.
So
he was really good in the Cruiserweight Classic.
I just feel like he does too much on SmackDown. Like he tries to insert himself
after 2 weeks with Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
It's nice. That's what I want.
It's good. It's nice.
Tom Phillips, JBL, David Otunga.
I like you. You're very specific in your notes. And Morrow hasn't I haven't tweeted since March 13th, but I love Twitter. Ooh. Cock. All right. Anyways, AJ, as promised, came to the ring.
Yes.
Say that
he's not sorry.
He's not sorry.
Not sorry.
That he put Shane's head through a window.
He accepts Shane's challenge at WrestleMania.
He will fight. And then correctly, he said, without AJ Styles, SmackDown plummets.
Yeah, he says.
The ratings go down.
I'm untouchable.
Oh, sorry. He said, Daniel Bryan, I'm untouchable. Yeah, it was good.
I mean, he's top star on SmackDown.
He is top star on SmackDown. It surprises me. Daniel Bryan needs a better mind for business. He should say, AJ, look.
He acts with this.
Yeah. Too much. What he should say is, AJ, look, here's the deal. Here. I'm not going to fire you for doing that. But I am going to turn you face. So start doing good guy things.
Yes.
And then AJ would be like, oh, okay, I'm going to do good guy things now.
Yes.
And then he would turn into a good guy. And all problems are solved.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, yeah. That's better business sense. Yeah.
Better business sense. Because the people want him anyways.
More of this.
Mm-hmm.
Use this more.
Yeah.
Less this.
Less of that.
Yes, but more. Use more of this.
Daniel Bryan makes horrible ribs.
Well, we don't know that. He wouldn't know what to do with them. He's a vegetarian or a vegan, so probably not.
He might be a vegan. He has no idea.
Probably not.
Put ribs in front of him, and it's like you put math in front of me.
Really?
Well, calculus. No, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Once, like, eighth grade math comes around, I'd say seventh grade. Don't know a lick of it.
Really?
Not anymore.
Yeah,
nope.
I was worried about that too. We'll see.
I did great in high school all until I hit calculus. That was a wall for me, just a total wall. But up until then, I was the smartest guy in the fucking room. I was in physics as a junior.
Yeah, but I also got
the year you were a senior in physics.
I also got an A in calculus.
That's when we met.
I also got an A in calculus.
See, I didn't even try with calculus. That's the thing. I probably could have gotten an A. Without much trying.
Oh, really?
To be honest with you. If I tried at all, I could have.
If you just tried a little bit.
Just a little bit, I could have
gotten
an A.
A little bit instead of you're like,
Do you remember what my score, my final grade was in calculus?
No.
32. They let me audit the grade because I did the homework, which I don't remember doing that. Or I did the homework and I did the test. I tried. No, wait, I didn't try, but I literally wrote numbers and letters down.
Mm.
I didn't understand calculus at all. Didn't understand a lick of it. Nowadays, now I got the teenage step kids going on. They bring me math homework. I'm like, I don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and figure it out. I'm not that good of a person to sit here and figure out. You have teachers at school who know this stuff.
Yeah.
Raise your hand tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I don't get it. Teach it better.
Okay.
You're going to find yourself in that position, man, trying to figure out that fucking math stuff with your kids. Oh, boy.
Well, now they're doing the Common Core stuff, right?
Shit. Yeah, I don't know if that's still going to be around by the time.
Yeah, probably not. But
yeah, the kids are
That's
older.
A whole different way of teaching math.
Yeah, I know. I looked at that, too, and I was like, oh, this is weird. It's like art. It's like diagram. It's
weird.
It's
the numbers inside the numbers, right?
Yeah. You gotta bust out all the numbers from jail, man.
Yeah, it's like a super collider.
Rob Gronkowski was there at SmackDown.
Oh, you skipped the whole spot.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan was on the phone with Shane.
He told he told Shane, "Sports you 100%, Shane."
Yeah.
Baron Corbin walks in, says he wants to know if Dean Ambrose had accepted his challenge for a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And Bryan says, I don't know.
He said, well, according to betting odds, you are. He did.
Yeah, well, you're, and then he said, you're facing Baron. Oh, no, Baron said, I have the night off. I'm going to go hit the blackjack table.
I'm feeling lucky. He said, I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to go hit the blackjack table.
And Daniel Bryan says, nope, you're facing Randy Orton tonight.
I like what Daniel Bryan said, too. If you caught me in a better mood, that'd be okay.
Yeah.
But tonight you're facing the number one contender for
Daniel
the main
Bryan
event.
Daniel Bryan just learned about hold harmless forms. As we saw on Twitter before we started. Oh,
that was pretty good. That was good. Hold harmless. Oh, new assignee to W. Steve W. is hold harmless. Oh, he's going to show up next week. Oh, man. That's how Ulysses was able to die and nothing happened.
Oh, everybody in W. Steve W. signed.
They all have to sign the hold harmless form. Yeah, not sure anything about it in the first place. Indemnification.
Yes. Anyways, now, then, Gronk was in the house.
Showed Rob Gronkowski and like five hanger-ons, all who I told you, they're probably all getting paid by Gronk about $100,000 a year just to do nothing.
Just to hang out.
Yeah, sure, no problem, Gronk. You're the man, Gronk. Okay, Gronk. Sounds good, Gronk. Oh, you got injured again, Gronk? Let's go party, Gronk.
Yeah, more partying, Gronk.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, we had a really, 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 holy really shit. Good tag title match
this
between American Alpha and the Usos. Fast-paced, a lot of action, a lot of back and forth.
It was a lot of really good tag team. This is my problem with tag team wrestling. There isn't enough good tag team wrestling. Not enough tag teams know how to creatively
tell stories.
Or producers don't know how to creatively book them, or bookers or whatever. And then the tag teams themselves, like, I feel just there's not a lot of creativity.
Well, usually
these days.
They stick to the same formula where the heels cut the ring in half, keep the one of the faces in their corner isolated until the face can make the hot tag.
Yeah.
If you watch, like when we watch New Japan tag matches, they don't necessarily stick to that formula.
Right.
And the referees in New Japan give the wrestlers a lot more leeway in terms of the five count and stuff.
When it's,
so they tend to be a lot more chaotic.
On the indie scene, man, there's guys like obviously the Young Bucks, War Machine, like in New Japan,
Roppongi
Vice, thank you. Yeah, even the Hardys these days. There's a lot of really cool indie scene. And then if you even go down to NXT, I really enjoy their tag team.
Oh,
matches.
Revival's great.
They're fantastic. Yeah. DIY is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And I even like the Authors of Pain. So I feel like there's a crop of tag teams that are coming up that really are doing interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I've been so used to, like, if you look at the rest of the SmackDown roster, it's like we haven't seen an interesting Uso match in a while.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen really an interesting American Alpha match in a while. I think that's more because of who they've been facing, though.
Yeah.
It's not like Heath Slater and Rhino are, like, you know, revolutionizing. They weren't revolutionizing tag team wrestling.
No.
And then you look in the back, you got the Vaudevillains. They were never really doing anything all that special.
Same with the Ascension.
The Ascension aren't doing anything all that special. So you got a bunch of guys who have, like, decent packaging, but it's like they're not really bringing anything new to the table. You know, it's like the Vaudevillains, cool, they're time travelers. I'd rather see the Revival, who are just a couple of badass dudes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they do really interesting stuff in the tag division. This was a really, really good tag match.
Yes. I had one small beef with this.
Okay.
The Usos had Chad Gable on the outside. Actually, they beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
He was just laying there.
Sure.
They let the ref count. Starts 10 count. And at no point did they go down there and pick him up and put him back in the ring and try to get a pin.
Mm-hmm.
He laid down there for a full 9 seconds before he got himself up and put himself back in the ring.
Yeah.
They can't win the titles.
Correct.
On a count out.
Yeah.
So if he's laying down there for 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them in the ring, maybe 3 of those seconds you can get a pin,
and
you can win the titles.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can kind of – I don't like trying to extrapolate motivation because motivation should be shown.
Yes.
But maybe they just understood that American Alpha don't like to win that way. But then how would you know that it's his choice to sit out there?
He could be beaten so badly out there that he's unconscious for 10 seconds.
Well, maybe they knew
9 seconds
because there were no trainers running down to help him that he would be okay.
Well, I mean,
no, your point is completely right. I'm just pulling shit out of my ass. Anyways, let's see.
But the finish of this match, Chad Gable gets tossed over the guardrail.
I get so confused because of the Usos. They dress the same. They look very similar to each other.
Very much so. Chad Gable gets tossed over the guardrail, and Jason Jordan spears that same Uso, I think.
I don't fucking know, man.
Anyways, Jason Jordan gets back in the ring. Jimmy Uso, when Jason Jordan is trying to go through the ropes, grabs his leg and yanks it.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan limps a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso hits a super kick.
Yeah.
Gets the three count and the win. New tag champions, the Usos.
This was really cool, man. So I'm thinking that this is just going to add. Because if American Alpha went over here, they'd have nothing to do with WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, is Usos would win and they'd have a match at Mania and Alpha, American Alpha, would pick up the win there, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I think it depends on the – I have to look at the deck in terms of
– heel face, heel guaranteed face, wins.
I'm not sure. I mean – look, this is no fault of American Alphas that they haven't really been doing anything with the tag titles, but I wonder if maybe somebody in creative is thinking, well, let's put them on the Usos so that'll force the higher-ups to have us do more stuff with the tag divisions.
Could be.
Maybe. So I would be disappointed. I want to see the Usos keep those straps for a little while.
Yeah, they've been doing...
I never thought I'd fucking say that.
They've been
Larson.
Doing great work since they turned heel.
They've been doing really good work whenever they've had some TV time.
Yep.
Like, put them on TV and they do really good stuff. Then we got a Luke Harper promo. I saw a video today on Twitter that somebody showed or somebody tweeted at us, or maybe it was just randomly on one of the wrestling accounts of his Luke Harper's debut as Brody Lee in Chikara.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was he came out to a New Kids on the Block song, I think the right stuff.
Mm.
And he was like doing a weird white dude dance. It was very silly. A long way away from Luke Harper. I love Luke Harper.
Yeah, he's great. He said he knows his first-hand knowledge of the power of Sister Abigail being in the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
And he talks about how that power has corrupted a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said next week he's going to take on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. So are we thinking they're going to reunite to head into WrestleMania? I think that Bray Wyatt is going to be as leveled up as possibly, as possible.
Yeah.
And then he's going to lose to Randy Orton at WrestleMania with an RKO out of nowhere. Although, you know, here's the thing. I would be totally okay if Randy Orton beat Bray Wyatt with like five RKOs. If he no-sold two of them out of the bat.
Yeah.
Just drops them and then he gets right up and laughs at him.
How awesome would it be if the match starts, Bray walks right up to him, more or less saying, RKO me.
Yeah.
Randy hits it, no sell.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see Randy Orton beat 10 of those dudes with the masks.
Yeah.
All the Golden Llama guys. But really, really, really come out of this beaten up.
Changed.
Like, this was the most brutal fight he's ever been in, and it completely shows. Like, I want everything in the last 10 minutes of this match to be out of sheer desperation. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I think it'd be great.
Agreed.
And I hope that's what we get. If we're going to get Orton standing tall with the championship at the end of Mania, which I think is probably going to be the second to last match, probably, which is what I think we're going to get.
Yeah,
I want him to really have earned it, because otherwise it's a complete waste of time. It's so boring, and I fucking hate it.
I know. Next, earlier in the episode, they were promoting an unseen episode of Total Bellas.
That's right.
That The Miz and Maryse had found, thanks to their connections in Hollywood. So they showed the first part of it right here. And, of course, it wasn't John Cena and Nikki Bella. It was Maryse as the Bella twins.
Yeah.
And it was The Miz as John Cena.
The Miz and Maryse are so over for me. Like, I am so into them now.
They're very charming.
They're very charming. They're so funny. They're so spot on. This fucking, like, these things were, it was, again, it's this weird thing of, like, John Cena. Everything The Miz says about John Cena is totally spot on. He's very robotic. He's obviously very calculated. I'm not going to say manipulative, because that doesn't really fit, but the whole thing about him, if he ends up, like you said, which is going to happen, if he ends up proposing to Nikki Bella after the match, it validates everything they're talking about. The entire parody of Total Bella bullshit tonight will be completely validated, because the running joke was at every turn he would start to hint that he's going to propose and they would do the wedding bell
really
song.
They were really hammering that home today.
Yeah. And it was hilarious. It was great. Maryse was great. And every time she would get spurned, she would do the Nikki Bella cry face.
Yeah.
And she would go. But it was so overdone. And like, they would extend it out like 10 seconds longer than they should have.
The last time she was disappointed, it was just.
It was so great. It was absolutely hilarious. And she played both of the Bellas. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was good. And Miz was really good as John Cena, too. He was really... He had the smallest detail that I saw, that I noticed, that was great, was his posture.
Yeah.
Because John Cena has... here's his torso, And then here's his butt, but it's usually like his jorts sticking out from under the belt.
Yeah.
And then it goes down. He has like he's always had weird posture.
Yeah.
He's always a little hunched over.
But he still manages to keep his shoulders back.
Yeah, I know. But he's like sort of like he's not like this.
No, I know what you mean.
He's like this.
Just slightly though.
Yeah.
But his shoulders are still back.
He's still an imposing presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that was really funny. I loved it.
Yeah. Both those segments were pretty good. And then they gave a DDP Yoga a shout out.
Oh, yeah. He says, I'm going to give you a diamond.
Dallas Page Yoga.
Yeah, that was good.
Next, we had Baron Corbin.
Because Baron Corbin.
Against Randy Orton.
I know. Look at this pay-per-view level match right here.
Yeah, it was a good match.
It was a good match.
A lot of good back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then Baron Corbin works a pretty fast pace for a man of his size.
For a big dude, yeah.
And kudos.
What'd they say? Did they say he's 275?
Yeah, 270. They said 6'6", 6'7". 6'7",
okay.
270. But kudos to Baron for working.
That would have to be his actual height then. If he's 6'6", 275 makes sense. At even 6'7", that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But like, shit. Because usually they bill them taller than they actually are.
Yeah.
He's not 6'4", 275. That's not happening.
No. I mean, he was an offensive lineman in the NFL. I mean, granted, the height and weight of O-linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Yeah.
I think the trend now is for taller offensive linemen.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he was anywhere between 6'5 and 6'7.
Yeah. I would think he's taller or on the taller end of that.
Yeah. So again, a good match. Dean Ambrose comes out towards the end of the match.
And he all of a sudden appears on a forklift.
Yeah, but the crowd really telegraphed it.
Because
the forklift comes out, everybody looks over and starts going, Dean. And they haven't shown anything over by the ramp yet.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching and I'm thinking, okay, Ambrose is over there, I'm guessing, because everybody's chanting Dean.
Can I tell you one of my pet peeves?
What?
When the announcers stick to what they see on their monitors, even though something clearly is happening.
In fairness, from where they are, they might not be able to see that.
There was another time when... Shit.
They might not be able to see it.
No, I hear you.
I mean, they have the script in front of them or the show notes, so I'm sure they know what happens.
There was another time, and I forget what it was. It was on SmackDown. I think somebody... And it was the same thing. The crowd started looking, and they... And, like, the wrestler wasn't looking, but I think like whoever was coming in, it was fairly obvious that they were like clearly near the announcers, and they completely no-sold it because TV production wanted us to see what was going on when the wrestler in the ring. I forget what the situation was, but it just was really obvious. And I was like, okay, I get that they're telling us a story because we're watching TV, but at the same time, you should try to actually coordinate that shit so that When the wrestler, like when everybody sees it, I don't know. They should just coordinate that shit.
Okay.
It's kind of annoying.
Okay. So anyways, Ambrose comes out. He's on the fork of the forklift.
Yeah.
The fork is elevated, so he's standing, you know, high.
Yes. Correct.
He says something to
hey,
Baron.
Baron,
you busy?
Baron, you busy?
As Baron gets back in the ring, he walks right into an RKO.
Yeah.
Randy picks up the win. Ambrose comes down the ring. Picks up Baron, give him a dirty deed.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's kind of funny that with like 17,000 people watching you, you're going to be distracted by one dude up at the top of the ramp.
I know. Everybody in the arena chanting Dean, 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 and looking in one direction.
Yeah.
You just don't look that way.
Yeah. let's see here. Cut to AJ in the parking lot. Still waiting for Shane.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Shane. Where's Shane?
Because he's going to do the same thing he did last week.
Chase, where's Shane? Oh, not Grizzly yet.
All right. Let's talk about this Randy Orton interview.
Okay.
You missed some of this.
Yeah, I went out to get some dinner.
The
worst time possible.
Yeah. So Renee Young comes up to Randy Orton backstage and asks if Randy has a response to what Bray did last week.
Okay. Did Randy come off as worried, as concerned?
Well, his response was, "I don't know what to do to get rid of Bray Wyatt."
Okay.
So he seemed fluxed.
Okay, that's good.
Confused, at least but not that. Like. I guess, I don't know. I mean, he still came up with his detached because that's Randy Orton.
At the end of the day, I'm still Randy Orton, and I think they want me to win at Mania.
But I think he showed a little extra, I don't know, intensity when saying that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's good.
So the lights start to flicker in the room.
Uh-oh.
Renee gets out of there.
Fuck this shit. I'm out of here.
Randy calls out Bray, and the lights go out.
Okay.
lights come back on.
Yeah.
And Randy is surrounded by men in sheep masks.
Okay, yeah.
All kind of dressed like Eric Rowan. But Eric Rowan is not one of them, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And they start beating him up.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of drag him over to a wall, and he's kind of they hold him up in kind of a squatting position.
Sure.
Camera pans over. Bray Wyatt enters frame with some weird, like, wand thing that had a circle at the end. And then it looked like, from the picture you saw, you showed me a rectangle with an X over it.
Yeah. No, it was a Family Feud. You got
it
wrong.
Yeah, it looked like that, yeah.
I love the Family Feud,
man. Whammy. Remember the Whammy?
Yeah.
Not the actual. I know they had a personification of the Whammy. Yeah. When he got the Whammy, they threw up the X, too, didn't they? On a shoot, what was that called? Show called? Something Your Luck.
I was sort of...
Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck. No, I'm out of... I always liked the what was it, the pyramid?
Oh, yeah, the $65,000 pyramid.
Why was it $65,000?
Or $56,000 pyramid.
Why would it have been 56?
I don't know.
Wasn't like, it was a weird number. It wasn't like 50,000 or 100,000. It was a weird number.
I think maybe because there were so many spots in the pyramid, it added up to 56,000 or 65,000, maybe.
That would make some measure of sense.
I don't remember. But yeah, I think Press Your Luck, they had X's too. But yes, you're correct. Family Feud. If you got an answer incorrect, or it wasn't on the board.
Yeah.
X.
I love Family Feud, man. Yeah, Steve Harvey cracks me up. He really actually does crack me up. I love Kenan Thompson's impression of Saturday Night Live. It's hilarious. Anyways.
So Bray takes this wand-type thing. Mm-hmm. Looks like he touches it on Randy's shoulders and then places it kind of between his legs so it's resting on his lower abdomen.
Okay.
More or less.
Near his dick area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bray starts telling Randy about, you know, that Randy found his one flaw.
Yeah, I saw this video on WWE's Twitter
account.
And
that,
so that's
you know, by doing what he did, turned that flaw into Bray's greatest strength.
Yeah, now I'm all-powerful, Randy.
So he's leveled up.
By
maximum leveled up.
Unleashing Sister Abigail. I have all the power in the world. Baby Orton, do you want a Rolo? It's chocolate and caramel.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
You can't have it.
You can't have it because you're a baby. Babies can't have that much sugar. It's going to hurt them.
You can give them a tummy ache.
They're going to hurt their baby tummy. Oh, man.
So, I mean, they're
so, okay, this is my point. And we mentioned this before.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have, like...
It's going to suck.
Mad leveled up Bray Wyatt with Satan powers.
Yeah.
And he's going to end up losing to an RKO.
Yeah. He needs... This has to be Randy Orton overcoming insane odds. I don't want to see a stand... And I like Bray Wyatt matches. I think Bray Wyatt's a hell of a wrestler.
He's a great storyteller.
I want to see something new, something different, something... I want to see. This has to manifest itself as something greater in the ring.
Yes.
Than we've seen before with Bray Wyatt. Otherwise, Agreed. It makes zero sense. I'm looking for a satanic Bray Wyatt entrance at WrestleMania. Better be fucking amazing.
Oh, I know.
I'm talking about like a live fucking cow sacrifice. Like, I'm a total animal lover.
Yeah, you're an animal lover.
So make it CG.
Okay.
It'd have to be CG. But then he comes out with like a bloody pig's head. And a bloody cow head.
That's not...
A human head.
That's not PG.
What if he comes out with like a decapitated head, but it's Randy Orton's head? So they make a really, really good one?
So it's like the Hogan thing, where he pulls his own head out of
the box. But the Hogan thing was clearly paper mache. I want this sumbitch to look real.
I don't know if it's paper mache. I think it was latex.
Man, you ever seen that movie where Clint Eastwood gets out of prison? He escapes. What's it called? The Great Escape? No.
No.
Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And they make those paper mache heads.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit looked exactly like Hulk Hogan's fake head in WCW. Looked like Hulk Hogan was trying to escape from Alcatraz, and so he made paper mache Hulk Hogan head. That's what it looked like.
It looked a little better than that.
Slightly better than that.
It looked a little better.
I want
that.
This shit to look real.
Okay.
I want a fucking Randy Orton prosthetic head with like entrails, whatever, coming out of the
spine.
The spine and like nerves and shit and blood everywhere. Not nerves, but you know, like the shit. Just viscera.
Yeah.
Not the wrestler. And he's holding his head. That's fucked up, man.
They're not going to do that.
That's so fucked up. I want to see that. Anything less is stupid.
They're not going to do that, Steve.
What do you think they're going to do? Give me something that you want to see. How would you want to?
I told you. I want to see Randy Orton ride in on a mechanical snake. That's what I want to see.
Okay, that's good. That's Randy Orton. I want to see Bray Wyatt walk out with Satan.
Yeah, it's difficult to say that.
But it's like Hornswoggle. In a Satan outfit, and he's all doing a little Hornswoggle dance. Horn Satan. That's what I want to see. Or like really hot Satan girls. And it's like a cheesy, like 80s hair band.
Yeah, he comes
Satan
out to,
group.
To Motley Crue, Shout Out the Devil.
Yes. That'd be great. And he's air guitaring. And then Evil comes out with him with his cheesy sickle. I love all this. Man, have us book that shit. That'd be great. Oh, man. Anyways, after, I love your notes right here, by the way. After that, Lance Catamaran
took on Chet Cheddarfield with the banker.
The banker. Where was Sea Creature?
No Sea Creature tonight.
Where was Sea Creature? Do we find out if we confirm? Look, we know Luke Harper is a luchador. Who is Sea Creature?
No idea.
Who is Sea Creature?
I don't know if we'll ever know.
Somebody has to know, man.
I know. So the banker came out dressed as Nikki Bella.
That's correct, yeah.
I believe Chet Cheddarfield called him Breezy Bella.
Breezy Bella, that's what they call him. Yeah, yeah.
So Chet dropped the promo and started giving John Cena tickets for being first bad boyfriend.
Hold on a second.
What?
That's out of his jurisdiction. He's a fashion police.
He's getting into it. Second ticket was for wearing jorts.
Okay, that's
in
fine.
In 2017.
Okay.
Third was for being a bad wrestler.
Again, it's not in his jurisdiction. They're fashion police, not wrestling police, not boyfriend police, not significant other police. They can't issue citations for that.
Well, they did.
Well, that's dumb.
So as Chet is introducing the banker as Breezy Bella, John Cena signals to the entrance ramp, out comes Nikki Bella.
What was Jericho's name in Southpaw?
Oh, dude.
I just wanted to say Fandango's line from the end of that first episode. He says, Clint's a real piece of shit. They bleep out the shit.
I know.
Or they cut. It was great. God damn it, that shit was funny. I hope they do more. Sea Creature!
That was so good.
Anyways, Nikki comes out to the ring. She spears Banker. And then they both give, they both get them up. And I was actually really impressed because Nikki got Tyler Breeze up into the fireman position.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Clint Bobsky.
Yeah, Clint's a real piece of shit.
Knew it was Clint something.
Fucking Fandango was so deadpan in that Southpaw. It was fantastic.
It was so good.
Clint's a real piece of shit. That was so good. Are you telling me you don't have a calendar? My 6-week stint in Utica.
In Utica. 36 days.
36 days to be precise. Oh my God, that was fun. I got to watch that again.
So yeah, Cena wins. Having a Chet Cheddarfield tap out.
Well, yeah, he gives him the...
Oh, sorry. Lance Catamaran wins.
Lance Catamaran gives him the AA. Is that what they still call it? Yeah. The attitude adjustment?
Yeah.
And then Nikki Bella gives Banker...
Rack Attack
2.0. The Rack Attack 2.0.
I like they had this match on the heels of Southpaw coming out.
Yes, I know.
It's great.
I know, because everybody...
And the announced team was making several references.
Oh, were they?
To Southpaw.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching this tomorrow then. Yeah. Son of a biscuit. I am so watching that tomorrow. That's fantastic. Where's my other trivia card? Okay, good. So then we had... Oh, let's go. Becky Lynch.
That was Sami Zayn's theme song. Becky versus Carmella. This match is going on. I stepped out of the room for a moment to get my chili out of the microwave, and I come back, and the entire SmackDown Women's Division is in the ring fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is all set up for their WrestleMania
match. Escalated very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, they were just having a match, and then suddenly everybody was there.
Yeah, I still like, if Asuka is not going to appear, Alexa Bliss needs to win this, because... then you have established a massive heel star with Alexa Bliss. And JBL even said, we still don't know what kind of match this is going to be. And if Alexa Bliss is able to successfully fend off every single woman that they're going to throw at her, including somebody on Twitter, so you know it's not true. Rumor has it that Summer Rae might come back for this thing. We've heard Kelly might be coming back for this thing. All sorts. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be like a really fun match to watch.
Yeah.
So I think that Alexa Bliss winning would be fantastic.
It'd be huge for her. Yeah.
Like, how shitty would it be if, like, they do, I don't know, a gauntlet match or something, and then it comes down to, like, the last person. That last person should not. I mean, it shouldn't be Becky Lynch on the heels of Alexa Bliss taking on five other women.
I know.
It shouldn't be Naomi. I know it's in her hometown, on the heels of five other women. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, it's gonna devalue that person's victory. So have Alexa Bliss go through it. That'd be fucking fantastic for her. That'd be huge.
It'd be pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had more of the Unseen Total Bells. We already talked about that.
And then we cut to the backstage area. AJ still waiting for Shane.
Still waiting.
Renee Young comes up to him, tries to interview him. Just then a car pulls in.
Yeah.
AJ gets in position, hides.
Yeah.
Door opens. AJ makes his move.
Three other people standing around milling about.
And they just back away.
Nobody's like, okay, get ready because Shane's about to come out. Let's tell Shane that he's about to get his head put through another window.
Yeah, but it's not Shane.
No.
It's Rhino and Heath Slater.
Yeah. Why were they even there? Why were they showing up so late?
Here's the thing is when Daniel Bryan was on the phone with Shane, I'm guessing Shane was explaining his plan that he'd have someone else in the back of the car, and then Shane would come in through the front door of the arena.
So Rhino and Slater got a payday just for riding up in a car. That's pretty sweet. Pretty good deal.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Shane
pretty.
Just walk in through the front door, make his way to gorilla position, hit his music. He walks down to the ring and calls out AJ, essentially. Cut back to the parking lot. AJ's still in there. Renee Young tells him, hey, Shane's in the ring.
Yeah.
AJ knows he's been had.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Cut to commercial.
Yeah.
Cut back. Yeah. Shane's talking.
Yeah.
Crowd really wasn't that into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some what chance.
Yeah, what?
So AJ, or sorry, camera follows AJ as he walks to the arena into gorilla position, pauses for a second, grabs a mic, walks out, and he comes out and says, AJ, or Shane, I'm going to apologize to you. Starts walking the ring. You know, when we were watching it, you said something like, oh, he's doing the face thing again.
Yeah.
And I said, no, this is just him being nice to get in Shane's good graces for a second so he can punch him.
Yeah.
Well, AJ gets in the ring, and as soon as AJ gets in the ring, Shane beats on him with fast hands.
Yeah, fast Shane hands, which are very fast.
They make the way to the outside. AJ suplexes Shane to the barricade. Shane, or AJ picks him up. Shane backbodies AJ onto the mat with the top of the announce table on it because AJ had peeled that off, wanted to put Shane through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty obvious that we were going to get a Shane elbow.
Yeah, which we did.
Yep.
Shane put AJ on the table, climbed up to the top turnbuckle, and delivered an elbow. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. I got nervous about this last year right before Mania because he did the same spot
with The Undertaker.
With The Undertaker. And I was like, okay, listen, you're right. It's right before WrestleMania. You don't want anybody to get hurt. I kind of feel like this should have been the go-home, though, right?
Yeah.
This should have been the go-home.
You know, and as much as we poo-pooed this match, I'm happy the last 2 weeks they're treating this as more or less the top story on the show.
Oh, yeah,
me
too.
It feel important.
Yeah, I know. I'm into it, man. I mean, okay. Who else on the SmackDown roster? Like, honestly. Who else on the SmackDown roster? I would guess, okay, so Orton, we haven't really seen AJ versus Orton. So
we did last week.
I know, but a feud.
A program, yeah.
That would have been great leading into Mania. I probably would have preferred that over this.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen AJ Bray?
No.
We haven't seen AJ versus Bray?
We haven't seen AJ Miz? We haven't seen...
I would actually prefer this over AJ Miz. Unless Miz had continued his trajectory, like going up from the Intercontinental title, maybe even getting the world title, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
AJ, Baron Corbin, I don't really want to see more than this.
It's a little early for that.
It's a little early for this. I don't know. I mean, I know we poo-pooed this a lot. And, I mean, granted, yeah, they could have brought up Shinsuke for a program with AJ, you know, a couple months ago. There could have been any number of other opponents, I suppose.
Yeah.
But looking at the SmackDown roster, they are, like you said, they're making this feel very important.
Yeah.
They're giving this big match feel.
Yeah.
And I trust AJ, obviously. I trust him to have a good match with Shane.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree.
All right, Lars, you want to answer some questions?
Sure.
All right, I have a bunch of favorited questions here.
Cool.
I aimed for the most popular ones. Baby Orton's soiled diaper. These are all on the Patreon, just from $1 a month. We look at the questions. We put up question threads. We ask our friendos to upvote questions. So if you start kicking $1 a month, you have your chance of getting your question read. You still have one if you ask questions on Twitter, because on the dirt sheet, we answer some of those.
Yes.
But more of a chance if you do it here.
Yeah.
On the Patreon, patreon.com/ Stephen Larson. Baby Orton's soiled diaper. Baby Orton, his soiled diaper. He made a boo-boo doodle. That's his dude's name. Due to Paige's leak photos and videos, massive popularity. Not sure about that premise. WWE has decided to explore the porn industry. Oh, no. Stephanie McMahon has hired U2 to produce their first debut porn video starring herself alongside with four SmackDown superstars and four Raw superstars. Also, one of you can be in it. You choose who. What would you call your masterpiece?
Well, it'd be Dirty Deeds, right?
Yeah, this would be Dirty Deeds. Yeah. Exactly. They call me, oh, I already got that name, Dirty Deeds. So, being said.
Then Ambrose has to be in it, right?
Well, it'd be Ambrose. It'd be Fashion Police because they're studs. I'd love to see them go at it. It'd be great. And then who else on SmackDown? I'm saying Natalia.
Okay.
Because she as Crazy Cat Lady.
Yeah.
It'd be like Crazy Cat Lady. So she'd be like hairy and like smelly. It'd be like gross porn. It'd be like bum fights porn.
Well, it's called Dirty Deeds.
It's called Dirty Deeds. And then over on Raw. Now, here's my thing. I'd want this. Stephanie's doing the porn, right? But it'd be Triple... Well, I think you said it stars her.
Yeah.
Triple H should be in there. And we just get a tender, loving sex scene with them. It'd be very nice.
Yeah.
Married couple, happily in love for ages, 20 years now. They're married or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And then, and they would make tender love. And then three other people from Raw would have to be involved in the show. Like they would get their own scene.
Yeah.
They get their own scene.
Yeah.
So they can show the world what their love is, what it looks like physically. All right. And then three people from Raw who would be involved. Well, look, if Xavier Woods has already done some of that, then we'd get his two buddies in it too. Big E and Kofi. They go at it. And then the comments, Steve, this is a bunch of gay porn. No, but there's a tender love scene. That's what I like to see, man. People who love each other. Expressing it physically. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Next.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. Which WWE superstars in character should be stand-up comedians? He picks Bray Wyatt.
I would just be like the cable guy. Like I would literally go and just install cable. I would be literally the cable guy.
You'd be Peter Stormare.
Yeah, but no porno for me because no one would see my tubby ass belly. All right.
WWE superstars in character
should be stand-up comedians. Triple H, because he starts every sentence with, I find it funny that people think that Shinsuke should be at NXT. Everything he says, I find it funny. That's like a typical 90s.
I'm going to say Fashion Police.
So they're porn actors and stand-up comedians.
Yes.
That'd be good. I'd love to see John Cena do stand-up. That'd be good. Son of a farmer, Mitchell Elam. You guys mentioned the Warrior Award and then thinking of the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. He got him to think, what other things would you like to name after legends? He said he'd call the WWE Jet the Air Flare One. What other things? What other WWE things should be named?
Did they do the Slammies this last year? I don't remember.
I don't know.
But like for Superstar of the Year, name that after Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah,
Stone Cold Steve Austin, Superstar of the Year.
Slammy, yeah.
The Shawn Michaels Match of the Year.
Performer of the Year.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be good. I like that. I would name... You know what I would do? What if you gave the belts names? Like the Ric Flair World Heavyweight title.
The John Cena Universal Championship. You know, he hasn't held that belt. Right now, it'd be Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens Universal Championship.
Yeah, whoever holds it gets their name. Let's see here. Larson and Steve has a question.
Predictions for the AJ Shane spot at WrestleMania. His guess is a top rope Styles clash.
I don't want to see a Styles clash.
Period.
I don't want to see a Styles clash. Not that John has a suggestion underneath this question. Says, honestly, I'd love to see AJ do a coast to coast.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see that, too. I think it'd be fantastic.
That'd be cool.
Let's see here. Craig Animal Hattle, new patron with a question for you. With the Rush storyline of Orton and the Wyatts, got me thinking. What has been the best faction breakup angle in wrestling? Thank you, Craig, for your patronage.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. The best faction breakup angle, I mean, one that comes to mind is Evolution was done so well.
Yeah.
Because it was over the course of like a year. First they kicked Randy out.
Yeah.
Batista left.
Directly referenced the Orton.
Mm-hmm.
kick out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Evolution, good. I would say.
Very good.
Friendo, Block Party World Champion Liam Wagner. Which gimmick from Southpaw Regional Wrestling do you think would work in today's wrestling? Mm-hmm. He says Chad Too Bad and Luke Harper.
Well, a lucha wrestler. You can get Sea Creature into DDT Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get that. Or even PWG for that matter.
Yeah. Or Shikara.
Yeah, or Shikara. I'm trying to think. Big Bartholomew, I could see.
Oh, the surfer guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The Ascension Surfer guys, they'd be good.
They'd be massively over. Yeah. Surfer dudes with attitude.
Yeah. The Fuck Wrestling Hate Club president, Terrence Thompson. What does he have against Fuck Wrestling? It was revolutionary. The Usos and A-Double proved that the SmackDown tag division isn't dead by having an NXT TakeOver level match. I agree. With SmackDown being the story-based show, should SmackDown go to 3 hours in order to advance and create more stories?
No, they have their third hour with Talking Smack that exists strictly to advance stories.
Yeah,
how many times do we say, Raw was really good, but it would have been a really great two-hour show? A lot.
I know, but SmackDown has so much stuff they're not using. I would never advocate for a third hour because I think if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But that being said, there's a lot of talent. Rhino and Slater and I drove up in a car. That's what we got to see from Rhino and Slater.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Excuse me.
Hidden pain. You know, maybe do this. If Raw and SmackDown did a wholesale swap of their tag divisions, because think about it. Over on Raw, you have Cesaro, Sheamus, The Club, Enzo, and Cass, and The New Day.
Yeah.
And then the Shining Stars. You got like five tag teams, three of whom need to be. I think SmackDown could do a much better job with tag teams that need to be protected.
Oh, yeah.
And then you ship everybody else over to Raw. You have all that extra time and all those other tag teams to do stuff with.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then you have those tag teams with like a really not great creative team. So, I don't know. Let's see here. Matt the Lunatic Mullet Swedgson, with five current hosses from any promotion, or what five hosses from any promotion would you put into a Survivor Series style match facing off against five older hosses from WCW, WWF, etc.? From today, I want Big Damo,
War Machine.
And I would say Heavy Machinery. That's like the most Hoss five.
It's pretty Hoss.
That is maximum Hoss right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of Hoss.
There's so much Hoss going on there.
Oh, what about Chris Hero? You have to get Chris Hero in there.
All right, fine. Who's this right here?
That was Damo. Damo stays. War Machine stays. Heavy Machinery can go.
Okay.
Hero.
You think Chris Hero would consider himself a Hoss?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Need one more Hoss.
Uno mas Hoss.
Why am I drawing a blank on Hosses?
Who am I not thinking about in Ring of Honor? No, well, we got War Machine. New Japan, any Hosses there?
Oh, Bad Luck Fale.
No, that dude is a Hoss.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So against five Hosses from
Barry Windham, Stan Hansen. Come on, give me some more. Vader. Get more Hosses. Give me some big Hosses. Give me an AWA Hoss. You think Big Scott Hall was a Hoss?
No. He was always ripped.
Muscle.
He was always ripped.
He was fucking nothing but muscle, dude. Did I already say who did I say? Bockwinkle,
Bockwinkle wasn't a Hoss.
No, he wasn't a Hoss.
No.
Nick Bockwinkle wasn't a Hoss.
No, he was in pretty good shape.
Nick Bockwinkle. How about Stan Hansen?
Yeah, you mentioned Stan Hansen.
Did I already? Who am I thinking of? Fuck.
I know, I feel like we're forgetting a prime Hoss.
I know, we are forgetting a prime Hoss.
We have Hansen. We have Vader.
AWA stars.
We have, he said, Barry Windham.
Mm-hmm.
Yokozuna.
Is Yokozuna kind of supersede? Like, he's sort of, too much Hoss.
Okay.
I don't think he's really a Hoss. Wahoo McDaniel. That's a friggin' hoss right there. Blackjack Lanza. Is that a hoss right there? Doesn't have a boiler. Looks hossish, though.
Okay, sure.
Oh, man. Look at all these. Harley Race.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hoss right there. Yeah, anyways, continuing on.
The phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega with Baron Corbin tonight saying that he had the night off and was going to go gamble. Which WWE superstar would you most want to hit the casino with? Take Mojo out of the equation because that's an easy answer.
God, I'd lose all my money. I wouldn't want to hit the casinos with him because I'm not a big gambler. And he'd be like, come on, let's gamble. I'd be like, okay, Mojo. Let's see how much I have in my savings account. You know who I would? Alexa Bliss. You'd get lots of free shit because she's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
I'd say Bobby Roode.
Oh, yeah. High roller.
Yeah.
Definitely. Glorious high roller.
Yes.
I like that. Let's see here. I like this. Bray Wyatt's Latino half-brother, Jose Francisco Fernandez Wyatt. Did Bray go shopping for his props at the same store as Evil? Yes.
Looks like
Baby Orton, everything evil.
Hamza Hilal.
Go ahead.
You guys already do so much as is, so I'm just wondering, what are the chances you do WCPW recaps for their big shows?
For their big shows. Here's the thing, like we'd have to sort of have the time to watch their smaller shows to get like the stories
caught
that
up.
Are going
caught
up. So yeah, I'd want to do that first.
Yes.
Jason the Cabbie. One of our favorite friendos. he says, so let's talk a minute on something that's probably been discussed before. The insistence on kayfabe, even when things were at its most ridiculous. This only seemed to be a thing, however, in English-speaking/Western countries. In Mexico and Japan, they seem to have dropped the insistence decades before everyone else did. And to this day, there is ultimate reverence for all their athletes. Whereas in the West, there's utter contempt for the sport as a whole, primarily in the U.S. If guys like Cornette, Crockett, and the like hadn't been as insistent as they were to maintain kayfabe, would we as fans still have to brace for the inevitable, you know that stuff is fake, right? Bullshit. What a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I have often said I'm really curious to know if the stigma attached to pro wrestling could have been avoided. Exactly.
Yeah.
This, if they had dropped the pretense from day one, I mean, they couldn't day one because I'm pretty sure that it was, I don't know. I mean, I know that they were doing it to protect their businesses.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they did it to protect their business. They couldn't have their top guys losing to other guys who weren't there all the time.
Yeah.
So that goes back quite a ways. And I guess it was just a matter of, I am legitimately curious. I don't know. Why that wasn't a problem in Japan. Maybe the territory system there was different. I don't know enough about it. Maybe they had a national thing from the jump. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But I do think that if dropping that curtain in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
or 70s,
mm-hmm.
if that would have led to a greater acceptance of pro, because there is still that barrier that exists in older, I would say older generations, especially, you know, our generation and further up the chain. I think it's probably lessening a bit these days because people see it for what it is. Like they dropped it in the 90s during the steroid trial.
Well, so, wasn't there an instance where Vince was before some athletic commission or something in an attempt to get, this is separate from the steroid trial, but he had to admit that wrestling was choreographed and predetermined.
Well, I was under the impression that he had to admit that on the stand during the steroid trial.
Yeah, I think that was it. And I thought there was another instance of that as well. But I could be wrong.
It might be. But yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. It would be interesting to know where pro wrestling would be today.
Yes.
If it would be the same but bigger, if somehow it would have been phased into a different type of athletic endeavor, I don't know.
Yeah,
like that's a pretty huge change. Let's see here. Dom the Man Hilberg. Hey, friendos, I've been having so much fun at the monthly live streams, I've decided to up my pledge to $5.
Thank you very much, Dom.
Glad you're having fun. He says, so I was watching some videos of Jake the Snake Roberts and realized that if I had been alive and a fan of wrestling at the time he was big, Jake the Snake probably would have been Dom's favorite wrestler. So his question is, which wrestlers who were big during the times you weren't watching wrestling do you think you would have been a big fan of if you were watching wrestling at that time? He says another wrestler that falls into that category for him would have been Razor Ramon, which would have fit for me too, yeah, because that was before I was watching. I started watching around 97.
Early 90s, I didn't watch a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So Razor Ramon's a good answer. And also, mm-hmm, something tells me I might have gotten into Edge because I really wasn't watching during his peak period.
I would think this. What about this? What about if we were watching before we were born? If we were grown-ups, like, okay. So I'm thinking I watched a lot of the WCW from like 1989, mm-hmm, and Terry Funk is fucking great. I think I would have been a big mark for Terry Funk.
Yeah.
I would have been a big mark for him because he was bad. I mean, he's always been badass, but I caught him like literally when he started having his retirement matches.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when and he's
for the 15 years thereafter.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. In 1989, when he was dropping promos about putting bullets in horses and shit, I would have been so into that. Like, yeah, watching WCW from 1989, he's the one guy I'd be like, oh, man, this is the guy that I want to be into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Any more?
Yeah, here we go. We'll end on this one before we do our trivia.
Yes.
Wait, here we go. There's two more. Well, let's see. We'll do two more here.
Okay.
Ross Clark, first-time patron. When younger, who is that one guy you would pull for no matter what? He says he personally marked out for X-Pac. Any mid-carder you liked for no reason? I had quirky reasons for liking guys. Dan Severn always just made me laugh. Because even back then, before we knew he took it too seriously, it was obvious he took it too seriously. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that wasn't character. He really like wanted to like loke on these guys.
Yeah.
Another guy I used to pull for all the time, and I still do to this day, is Triple H. When he was fighting The Rock, awesome, I don't care who. And I Stone Cold is my favorite guy. I always wanted Triple H to win. The only time I didn't was when Jericho beat him on Raw, and then Triple H bullied his way into getting it back. And that was the one time Triple H had real heel heat with me.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man, he's so good at his job.
When I first started watching, again, after, or in the mid-90s, I liked DDP.
So it was
good to see him kind of his growth going from mid-card wrestler to winning the U.S. title to eventually claiming the world title. That was cool. I marked out huge when he won the world belt in WCW.
Last question from Jefferson. He says he needs this answered. He needs Steve and Larson in the community's best ribs recipe.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody out there wants to
dry rub it, let it sit overnight in the fridge.
Okay.
Brown sugar.
Okay.
Paprika.
Yeah, 30 seconds left.
Garlic, salt and pepper.
Okay.
Some other spices. A little cayenne if you want a little kick.
Okay.
Let it sit overnight. Low and slow.
Okay.
225, 4 to 6 hours.
All right.
When they're tender and cooked, turn up your heat. If you want to put some sauce on it, do it then.
10 seconds left.
Get a little crust on there.
Okay.
Good to go.
All right. If anybody else has rib recipes for Jefferson, tweet at us at Real Going In Raw. We'll retweet it and we'll tag Jefferson on there. We have new trivia cards.
I finally
Larson.
Brought my trivia game over.
We have new trivia cards.
And I feel like this game is less difficult than the previous one.
Much less difficult. So we might have to think of something different. Anyways.
So we have two cards, each with three questions.
One is from the modern era, one's from the attitude era.
And there's another deck that's from the classic era.
Correct. We'll get to that next time. Number one.
One.
What film star?
Oh, which one are you starting on?
Modern.
Okay, I'll start a modern then too.
What film star inducted Hulk Hogan into the WWE Hall of Fame during WrestleMania?
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, very good.
The two members of DX wrestled each other in what WWE champion in a triple threat match for the title of Survivor Series 2009?
Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
No, those are the two members of DX.
There's
a triple threat match. Who was the third person in the triple threat match apart from Triple H and HBK?
Wait, at WrestleMania?
Survivor Series 2009.
Survivor Series 2009. There was a third person, 2009, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Wait, should I know this?
I don't know.
Um, 2009?
Yes.
Batista?
John Cena.
Oh, okay. Who won the 2010 SmackDown Money in the Bank match and then cashed it in at that night to beat Rey Mysterio for the title?
Is that Kane?
Yes. Very good.
What niece of Bret Hitman Hart won the Divas Championship at Survivor Series 2010?
Natalya. What superstar broke Cody Rhodes' nose in January 2011?
Rey Mysterio.
Very good.
What WWE manager and authority figure constantly irritated the WWE Universe with cries of, "Excuse me!"
Oh, Vicky Guerrero.
Yes.
What former UFC fighter defeated The Rock in the finals of the 1998 King of the Ring tournament? Former UFC fighter.
Ken Shamrock.
Okay.
The first ever tables, ladders, and chairs match was held at what 2000 pay-per-view event?
The first WrestleMania.
SummerSlam.
Oh, shit.
It was just a ladders match at WrestleMania.
I knew that. Who won a tournament at In Your House D-Generation X in December 97 to become the WWE's first WWE light heavyweight champion?
97?
Mm-hmm. First light heavyweight champion.
I feel like I know this.
This is one I figure you'd probably struggle on. You're going to kick yourself if you don't get it.
I don't know.
Still wrestles today. Part of Suzuki-gun.
Oh, Taka?
Yeah.
Gosh, I thought that too.
What? Go ahead.
You know, what member of Evolution was kicked out of the group shortly after he won the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam 2004?
Baby Orton, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put a finger up.
What superstar is known as the Cerebral Assassin?
Oh, that one's difficult. The Game!
The Game!
You have one more. Okay. Who managed the flamboyant tag team Billy and Chuck before abandoning them after their tag team commitment ceremony?
I see. Rico.
Yep. Yeah. Good job. So I up by one. I had five.
Up by one. You get one card. I'm going to go one get card. These cards over here.
Multiply. Oh, the new ones.
Yeah, we're not doing multipliers anymore.
I think the good ones are towards the back. Who's that? Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo.
Well done.
This is a nice card. It's thick.
I know. It's all like...
It's glossy.
It's glossy. It's got the little mirror shit
it's
on
nice.
It. Nice. Very good. Is that it?
That's it. Good episode today.
All right. Good episode today. Strong showing from us.
Yes.
Good job.
Nope.
No?
Thank you, everybody, for watching.
Nothing.
We'll see you Thursday for 205 Live and XD Recap.
I'm extending my arm all the way.